Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the second tier preview show brought to you by SBK. I'm Ryan Dilks and I'm joined by the Liam Richardson to my Matt Taylor. Hey, it's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
Oh, Justin, it's Friday. Oof. Can you believe it?
Oof. I can't believe it because it is literally Friday.
It is.
It's believable.
It is.
It's absolutely
believable.
They
said it wouldn't happen by gum, but here we are. And it's a pleasure to have you along for the ride, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the number one championship podcast, the second tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Before we get underway, it's time to reveal the next winner of our competition to win a copy of Football Manager 2024. We're giving away three copies of the game. One already went in yesterday's episode. One is going today, and then the final one in Sunday's episode. So you've still got time to enter for any latecomers. The winner for this episode is Alad Hopkins. Well done, Alad. Say well done, Alad Justin.
Congratulations, Alad. I'm happy for you. Welcome to the rest of your life.
That's good. I like that. It's better than the one you did on Thursday's episode.
Jazz them up.
So well done, Alad. And you have got the chance to win a free copy of Football Manager 2024. It's your final chance, so make sure that you enter. All you have to do is leave a 5-star review, screenshot it, and then email secondtierpod@gmail.com with the subject line Football Manager 2024 competition. That's a 5-star review, preferably on Apple Podcasts if you are that way inclined. Screenshot it, email secondtierpod@gmail.com with the subject line Football Manager 2024 competition. If you've already entered, you don't need to do it again. You'll still be in the draw for the final game. Winner will be announced on Sunday. Justin, it's preview episode time. That means we're making some predictions and looking ahead to another cracking weekend of championship action. I mean, we've got a huge game coming up as our game of the weekend, which we'll talk about very shortly, but Justin and I will each be picking our bankers and outsiders for the weekend and finishing off proceedings with a good game of Scott High or Ryan Lowe. So let's begin things with our game of the weekend, Justin. It's the Yorkshire Derby on Friday night between Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds United. You may remember that last week's game of the week between Huddersfield and Leeds was the first meeting in championship history between two German managers. Well, this is the second. They're like bloody buses, Justin.
I can't.
You just have to nod and agree.
Yeah, what an incredible stat. What an incredible stat. Yep. The incredible value you bring to this podcast is there.
Just say yah. That's yeah. All I want to hear you say. I think this is a bit of a low-key rivalry, isn't it?
Yeah,
in the absence
yeah.
of Sheffield United, I imagine Wednesday fans will probably say this is the game that they want to win the most this season, aside from, you know, any relegation six-pointers as the season goes on. But in terms of local pride, this is the big game, isn't it? And, you know, I think I can think of some big moments over the years between these two. There was that Marco Matthias wonder goal at Ellen Road where he flicked it over the defender's head and smashed it off the crossbar. That was beautiful. There was that Adam Reach screamer. A great goal, which was made even better by the fan footage from when the Leeds fans thought it was going over. They went, "Whoa!" And it ended up going in the top corner. That was a good one. A few years ago as well, when Sheffield Wednesday scored two late goals with Leeds top of the league. Is there any that you can remember there, Justin? Very Sheffield Wednesday heavy there.
Yeah, you have. I mean, you've got the Leeds fan invading the pitch and getting Chris Kirkland's face, which is probably at the other end of the spectrum of quite controversial. So gloss over
not
that.
Not as commonly thought of as the other ones.
Maybe
do you know
not.
It was the Leeds fan who fell from Stamford Bridge the other day? Apparently it's the same bloke as that one who got in Chris Kirkland's face.
Incredible. Wow. Oh, well, full circle. Man. It's got full circle.
anything else, Justin, that particularly comes to mind?
Nothing, but I was going through like, sort of the managers, and they got, you know, quite an interesting history of managers. You obviously got Howard Wilkerson. He's managed both clubs. Gary Monk as well, although the two are very different.
Yeah, two managers on very different levels there.
Yeah, also probably Gary Monk's less fond of, fondly thought of at both clubs as well. But yeah, they're the two that sort of spring to mind as well. I think it is a rivalry because I think any Yorkshire, yeah, they're two big Yorkshire teams, aren't they? Massive Yorkshire clubs. And they're both, what intensifies this rivalry, especially on this occasion, is the fact that both teams have got something huge to fight for. There's no mid-table mediocrity. You've got Leeds gunning for promotion and Wednesday trying to stave off relegation. It's going to be an atmosphere, to say the least.
Well, you say that, Justin. Danny Rule has called on Wednesday fans to pack out Hillsborough for this one and make it a full house. He said, all the supporters, please come on Friday into the stadium to make it really big. Make it a really big event for us and push us. We need everyone here at the stadium. So you mentioned that, Justin. Of course, this game usually would be a spicy one anyway, but with the added potential of a full house, it could be booming at Hillsborough on Friday night.
I don't think there are many better places than a booming Hillsborough, to be honest with you, because you go back to even just last season, for example, in the playoffs for Sheffield Wednesday against Peterborough, turning over a 4-0 deficit. They were down and out. They shouldn't have turned over a 4-0 deficit, but you get the early goal, the crowd starts to believe, and that filters into the players onto the pitch. And I think the same's happening this season. The crowd believes, the players believe, and it transpires on the pitch. And you know, that's going to be a key thing for Leeds. They're going to have to keep the crowd quiet for the first 15 to 20 minutes, because if they don't, it can be a really difficult game for them. It'll be a really difficult game for them anyway. But even more so if there's a full house at Hillsborough, because that has such an impact on a team that are fighting against the odds this season.
Yeah, well, I mean, Elland Road has been such a big factor for Leeds this season, hasn't it? Where the atmosphere has been properly, you know, winning them games in certain occasions. Think back to the Leicester game from 2 or 3 weeks ago. That was an occasion like that. Could we see, you know, the turning of the tables here in that regard? Because, I mean, Leeds' promotion hopes are going strong. Southampton are now 11-2 to finish in the top two with SBK. So they're thinking it's increasingly looking like it's a three-horse race for the top two spots. Having said that, Leeds can't underestimate Sheffield Wednesday here, can they? Yes, yeah. Leeds have been in scintillating form, 10 wins in 11, and they're playing second from bottom. Leeds are flying at the moment and not conceding many goals. Two, three that they've conceded this
on
calendar
one hand,
year?
You can count them on one hand.
Well, you don't even need the other two fingers, do you? So that's how good it's been for Leeds so far. But I mean, Wednesday, they may be second from bottom, but they're one of the form teams in the division right now, aren't they? 5 wins from 6. They will 100% fancy their chances here, particularly if they get a packed out crowd behind them, won't they?
But this is it. And this is the whole, you know, Leeds can't underestimate Sheffield Wednesday here, because it's not a given they're going to pick a result. I don't think that's the case in the Championship anyway. But even with Leeds booming as well as they have been, the draw against Huddersfield shows you what, you know, a game on Sky can bring, against a local derby, etc. All the variables from last week in their difficult game against Huddersfield for Leeds, are they going to be the same here against Sheffield Wednesday, if not even more ferocious because of how the crowd can be at Hillsborough? And then there's the fact that Wednesday have been informed themselves. They've been defensively very resilient. They've not been conceding many chances. It's going to be difficult. And what we've seen as well over the past few weeks is teams like, I know Leeds beat Leicester, but for 80 minutes, Leicester were sort of in relative control of that game and they let Leeds play in front of them. And it was the same with Huddersfield. Huddersfield let Leeds play in front of them. And if Sheffield Wednesday do that, it's going to be a really difficult one. So, you know, the longer that goes on, the more likely you are to fancy Wednesday nicking something towards the end of the game. But you know, it's going to be a tough game for Leeds. It's going to be even harder for Sheffield Wednesday. But yeah, what I can guarantee is it's going to be a fantastic event on Friday night.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. I really, really am. And I think the other thing that you forgot to mention, Justin, there is no telling how much of a boost it would be for Sheffield Wednesday mentally if they manage to get out of the bottom three this weekend. They've virtually been in it all season. So to actually get out of it would be huge, particularly at the expense of one of their big historic rivals and one of the best teams in the league. I mean, the way things are set down there at the moment, because it is so extremely tight, a point may be enough to do it, to get them out of the bottom three. I mean, a point as things stands could see you jump up a couple of places. That's how bloody tight it is down at the bottom of the table. So, I mean, that's what Wednesday, I think if Wednesday went into this right now, they would happily accept a point. But you know what? And I don't think I expected to say this after the first 3 months of the season. They can go into this fancying their chances of getting all three. And that'll be an incredible scalp. It'll be very difficult, don't get me wrong, but it'll be a huge, huge scalp for Danny Rawl and Sheffield Wednesday, won't it? But it's now time for our second tier bet builder with SBK. And with SBK, you can curate your own bet builder from a range of markets for any championship game. It's easy, fast and secure on the SBK mobile app. And you'll find substantially better odds there than any other bookmaker. So every Friday, we're making our own bet builder with four selections, all relating to our game of the week. So that's two for Justin and two for me. Justin, what are your selections?
I've gone with Dan James to score and over 10.5 corners. So my thinking behind Dan James is he's been excellent this season. There's no doubt about that. And he usually has a flurry of goals after scoring initially. So he scored his first in six in the win against Stoke in midweek. I'm expecting him to be on the score sheet a couple of more times over the next few games, and it may well be the case here against Sheffield Wednesday. As for the corners, I expect Leeds to have Wednesday camped in their own third for long periods of this game, which means there's going to be a lot of corners. It's going to be difficult to break Sheffield Wednesday down, which means they're going to have to find other ways, and other ways is going to be corners. So yeah, expecting Leeds to have quite a few, so I've got me over 10.5 for that.
I have gone with Leeds to win and Deshaun Bernard to be carded. Now, Leeds to win, we've got to pick a result, and if we're going either way, I'm going to go Leeds. They will be the favourites heading into this one, and their form speaks for itself. I think Wednesday have a chance of getting something from this game, but if you're going to push me for a result, I'm always going to say Leeds to win in this particular scenario. And then Deshaun Bernard to be carded. You may recall over the last few game of the weeks that we've been doing, I've mentioned how the opposition left-sided centre-back has been carded a lot in Leeds games recently. It happened with Yannick Vestergaard in Leeds v Leicester not too long ago, and up until last week it happened in 6 out of 7 games, the left-sided centre-back being carded for whoever was playing Leeds that week. Now, I repeated the same pick with Yuta Nakayama to get carded for Huddersfield, but he went off injured after about half an hour, which was a real kick in the teeth.
It would have come in.
You are?
It would have come in. It would have definitely. If he played the 90, he would have come in.
It probably would have, considering how much Huddersfield were kicking Leeds in that game. But, I mean, that's not stopping me getting on the horse again this week. So, Deshaun Bernard is the left-sided centre-half for Wednesday. I'm definitely backing him to get carded. So, those selections, Dan James to score over 10.5 corners and Leeds to win, Deshaun Bernard to be carded as well. A £10 bet with SBK on that returns £230. But with SBK, you can claim a 25% winnings boost on bet builders for Sheffield Wednesday versus Leeds. So that takes us to £287.50. Minimum odds of 4-1, T's and T's apply, over 18s only, and please do gamble responsibly. Let's have a look ahead to the weekend then, and in each preview episode of the second tier, Justin and I will each pick a banker, a team we think is guaranteed to win this coming weekend, as well as an outsider, so someone we think is going to win but is bigger odds with our friends at SBK than their opponents. We're tracking how we do as the season goes on. It's 1 point for a correct banker, 2 points for an outsider. Whoever loses has to do a forfeit, which will be a coach trip from Sunderland to Plymouth and back for Justin, and a CrossFit vomit-inducing workout for myself. The current scores are 37-26 to the Dilks Diehards. Our pick of West Brom to beat Coventry was the only winner between both Justin and I last weekend, so the Peach Posse still has an 11-point advantage to overcome. I've done the maths, by the way, Justin. There's 8 preview shows left of the season, so you've got 24 points available to win.
Easy. Listen. I'm gonna have a Danny Rawl like resurgence come over me. I'm gonna hit a run of form. As long as I don't pick Cardiff, I'm gonna be fine. I think that's the key thing.
Has he picked Cardiff? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Justin Peach's banker for the weekend.
I bloody haven't picked Cardiff. I've gone with Coventry to beat Watford away. Now, the base of it is Coventry. It looks like they're hitting their stride. They're getting back into it after a period of inconsistency. They came back into form, actually, the final demolition of Rotherham. But actually, my pick was made a little bit easier by identifying some messages on social media from a certain staff member at Coventry City with regards to Watford. Let's leave out specifics, but based on those messages, what was identified is Watford are pretty shit at the moment. They leave a lot of space, quote unquote, in and around their team. And I expect Coventry to fully exploit it. Fully exploit it. Not only that, But at the same time, Ellis Sims is back scoring, 2 hat-tricks in 3 games. They have a swashbuckling edge back in their midst. That's what it feels like. And Victor Torp as well is settled in nicely. He's been brilliant. And Haji Wright got another assist for Ellis Sims against Rotherham, and he's been electric as well. So I think a lot of the things are stacked here against Watford. Coventry hit and form. Watford seemingly, observed by others, have been shit.
Yeah, well, the rumour on the street is that Coventry are hoping that Valerian Ishmael doesn't get sacked before the weekend.
Wonder why.
And that they don't rate Wesley Hoyt, according to messages which may have surfaced online over the past few days.
oh, dear. Tread around that carefully.
Yep. but Justin, I mean, Valerian Ishmael's in a very strange position, isn't he, where he's at Watford. Watford are no stranger to sacking managers. And the rumours have been circling now for the past couple of weeks that he's on his last legs as Watford boss. Do you think that if they do suffer a defeat here, that may be it for old Val?
It probably does. I think, I mean, the PR surrounding him and his tenure is now at the bottom of the barrel, isn't it, really, when you consider the fact that these certain things have surfaced online on Twitter, which isn't going to help things, especially around surrounding Watford fans. Their opinion is going to change massively, if it hasn't already, because the outside opinion from other coaches and staff around football within the Championship is clearly not very high up on Watford at the moment. So with that in mind, I think the ownership probably will take that into account and go, actually, yeah, this isn't working, Big Val, sorry. I've got skin in the game because I had him to last till the end of the season. I'm 10 games short. I'm going to come up short on the hurdle because, as I say, if Coventry win against Watford, I think that's lights out for Big Val.
It won't be a surprise, unfortunately.
It's a surprise for him to last this long.
Of course it is. It's Watford.
After signing a new deal, bear in mind.
Yeah, there is that as well. But I mean, Coventry will be heading into this thinking, right, we had...
We know what they're thinking heading into the game.
Well, yeah, we clearly do, because we've seen alleged messages on social media. But I mean, Coventry will be heading into this thinking, right, we had a bit of a dip. We spanked Rotherham in midweek. This is a good chance to make it back-to-back wins and really get us back on track with regards to our top six hopes. So they'll be very, very hopeful heading into this one. And we'll fancy their chances of getting 3 points, admittedly, because Watford have not been in great licks for quite a while now, have they? My banker for the weekend is Ipswich to win away at Cardiff. Now, you may remember that last weekend, the Cardiff City Twitter account called us out. It's after Justin chose Bristol City to beat Cardiff as his banker of the weekend. Bristol City lost and Cardiff tweeted, "Banker of the weekend, tick." Now, since then, Justin has been in despair. He has been inconsolable over this utter humiliation. And you know what? I'm not going to stand for it. So I'm going to take it to Cardiff City's Twitter admin. I'm calling you out. It's me versus the Cardiff City Twitter admin in hell in a cell. But I mean, of course, I'm backing the Ipswich going up tractor here. It's 6 wins on the bounce now for Ipswich. And Justin may not be too impressed, but I certainly am. They are absolutely flying right now. And despite being twice behind against Bristol City, they still found a way, and that's just what they do. They keep playing until the final whistle, and no matter what the score is, Ipswich still have a good chance of finding 3 points from somewhere. They've been scoring goals for fun recently as well, and you could almost bet your house on Kiefer Moore scoring against his former side, particularly when they were reportedly interested in re-signing him in January but didn't. I can easily see that coming back to bite them on the arse this weekend. To be fair to Cardiff, they've been very good recently. They were in appalling form for a good couple of months, but now 3 wins on the bounce has steadied the ship. Despite that, though, Ipswich are on a completely different plane to Cardiff. So, of course, I'm backing Kieran McKenna's promotion chasing town.
Yeah, just to be a little bit pragmatic about this one, Cardiff are very good from set pieces, as we know, because that was the ultimate humiliation for me. It's that fact that they beat Bristol City last weekend via a set piece after I said it wouldn't happen. But that says they're a physical team, big players. You've got Gutas, Nat Phillips at centre-back. Is that not going to nullify Kiefer Moore? Because they head everything. And Kiefer Moore also heads everything. So there's going to be a clash of titans here. And I don't think, when it's two against one, I don't think the odds favour Kiefer Moore here.
Well, you say that, Justin. I look forward to the egg landing firmly on your face on Saturday afternoon.
And then you beef me.
It'd be a hat trick for you. You'll be on a hat trick, won't you? But I mean, even if it's not Kiefer Moore, Ipswich have so many different ways to hurt you, whether that's Big Keith, whether that's Leif Davis cropping up with the goals now, or whether that's someone like Connor Chaplin, Amari Hutchinson, Wes Burns, Nathan Broadhead. Number of different weapons they've got is quite frightening, to be frank. So that's why they'll be heading into this full of confidence. And yes, Cardiff have picked up recently, but Ipswich are absolutely flying right now.
It's that combination of Little Leaf and Big Keith, isn't it?
Little Leaf and Big Keith. There you go. I like that. That's quite good, actually. So I've gone for Ipswich to beat Cardiff as my banker of the weekend. And there are mine and Justin's two bankers. Each week, we combine these two selections with a bet on the full-time result of our game of the weekend to create our very own second-tier featured multiple with SBK. So this week, we're going for Coventry, Ipswich and Leeds, all to win. And a £10 bet on that returns £74 with SBK. You can create your own multiple with three or more bets on the full-time result of any game from across the Championship. T's and C's apply, over 18s only, and please do gamble responsibly. That again, Coventry, Leeds and Ipswich, all to win this weekend. A £10 bet on that returns £74 with SBK. Justin, let's take a quick break. After that, we'll look ahead to our outsiders in the Championship this weekend.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to the Second Tier podcast, and this is, of course, the preview show. So let's have a look at our outsiders in the Championship this weekend. What have you got for me, Justin, you big boy?
I've gone with Birmingham to beat Millwall away at the Den. This game is massive for both sides. I think both sides actually are being overlooked foolishly when it comes to being in relegation trouble. Let's consider the fact that Millwall on 40 points, just two points above the bottom three, and Birmingham are on 39 points, just a point above the bottom three. Obviously, the form of Sheffield Wednesday, QPR, Huddersfield, that's all brought the teams down, and it's created this relegation bottleneck. Both of those sides are in it. Neil Harris has rejuvenated Millwall. He's got them unbeaten in three, really playing the Millwall way. And when we say the Millwall way, they've made every game horrible, disgusting, dogged. They've made it horrible to play against them. That's exactly what they need right now. And Birmingham looked like they were turning a corner, but they've had a few bumpy games, but their run of games has been difficult. They are without Tony Murbury as well. And as I say, those sort of variables don't really make it easy for Birmingham City. And it's a case of a draw probably suiting both sides, but Birmingham have struggled to generate that momentum. And I think that drive and almost desperation will get them over the line. I think they do have a little bit more quality than Millwall as well. And at some point, the performances Millwall are putting in, they defend deep, they make it difficult for opposition. But I think Birmingham, especially if you've got someone like the Duke, Lukas Jukovic, as a plan B, it's going to play into Birmingham's hands a little bit as well. So I'm going to go with Birmingham to beat Millwall from the outside. It's a difficult one given the run of form Millwall have been in, but I fancy a Mark Venus-led Blues side to get the result here.
Yeah, I'm not sure who I fancy in the Michael Kiefton Bell derby. It's it's a tricky one because, I mean, My big question with Millwall right now is, yes, they've had a bit of a new manager bounce under Neil Harris, but is Neil Harris a good enough manager to properly see them and steer them away from the relegation battle? I'm not really too sure. Do you have any strong feelings on that, Justin? I think the Millwall squad is certainly too good to be where it is in the table. I mean, Birmingham's is as well, for that matter. But is Neil Harris the tactical genius who can save Millwall from relegation and lead them in the long term? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't think they need a tactical genius, do they? They don't need a tactical genius. What they need is a manager who gets the club, and Neil Harris gets the club. He's got them playing exactly how they need to be playing right now, which is difficult to break down, difficult to play against, ugly to play against. Like they, these games can't be pretty, especially when you're down there trying to fight for points. You've got to be scrapping, and that's what Millwall are doing. And that's all they need to do between now and the end of the season. You've got 10 games to do that. And I think, as far as players go, as you said, no, they shouldn't be down where they are, but they are because they've just not been deployed in the correct manner, the Millwall manner, so to speak. Gary Rowett knew a little bit more about that than Joe Edwards did. Neil Harris knows a lot more about that than both Gary Rowett and Joe Edwards did. So I think that's what makes this game all the more intriguing, because it's a case of, you know, can that Millwall way that Harris is deploying be sustainable against a team who's also down there fighting? Wasn't the case against Blackburn in midweek. Will it be the case here against Birmingham? I think Birmingham have a little bit more quality than Blackburn, so maybe not.
I've gone with Hull to beat Leicester as my outsider for the weekend. Now, I know this is a big shout from me. Of course, Leicester had lost three in a row prior to midweek. They managed to end that run with a 1-0 victory away at Sunderland. But while it may be the end of the run, I'm not sure it's the end of the slump just yet. It wasn't a very convincing showing. They were great for the first 15 minutes, but then not so much afterwards. If they were playing a Sunderland side with Jack Clark in it, I think it could have been a very different game. Sunderland lacking a bit of an X factor without him and just couldn't break Leicester down. A side who isn't lacking an X factor is Hull City. The likes of Jadon Philogene, Fabio Carvalho, etc. These are lads who can really hurt Leicester if they're not on it. They're unbeaten in six, although have drawn their last three. The latest came against Birmingham at home, with Liam Mazzina being extremely frustrated after the game at his side not managing to take away the 3 points. But they showed enough in that performance to indicate to me that they can beat Leicester. We, of course, have to remember that Hull have beaten them already this season. For the first 3 months of the season, they were the only side to have taken anything against Leicester, let alone beat them. So all they've got to do is just repeat the game plan, you beautiful, beautiful Tigers. But whatever the result, though, this is such a huge game for Leicester, and to anything but a win sets off the alarm bells, I think, doesn't it?
If Ipswich beat Cardiff, they go top, or they won't go top. It's going to take a massive goal swing, but psychologically, you know, they go joint top on points, and that's a big, big thing, and that's going to put Leicester back. So it is an absolute must win for Leicester. But I'm just going to pull a point on what you said about Hull, saying that they did enough against Birmingham to convince you that they've got enough to beat Leicester. Now, it's Rossini came out of that game bemoaning the lack of ruthlessness and the lack of aggression in front of goal. How's that going to be? How's that going to transpire in the game against Leicester, where they're not going to see as much of the ball? They're going to have to be ruthless in front of goal. And they've not been ruthless in these games against Preston, Birmingham, and others. You know, are they going to do the same thing against league leaders? Odds are against them there.
Yeah, but they've shown that they can create chances, is the point I was making. And while they weren't at their, you know, ruthless best in front of goal against Birmingham, they've shown over the course of the season that they know where the back of the net is. And yes, chances will be at a premium against a side like Leicester, where they're going to have to sacrifice a lot of possession. In certain games this season, when I've seen Hull, they seem to almost fare better in these kind of games where they don't have as much of the ball. So that's another, you know, leg to this pick for me for Hull to beat Leicester. What, are you disagreeing with me on this, Justin? Which one would you be backing if you had to? Do you really have enough confidence in Leicester based off their recent form?
I don't think I have enough confidence in Hull either. I think a draw would be the result I would settle on, but that's just me sitting on the fence and trying not to piss off Leicester fans or Hull fans.
I mean, a draw would be a bad result for Leicester, really, wouldn't it, considering how hot on their tails the top two are?
Absolutely, and it's a must-win.
The two teams before them, I mean.
Yeah, yeah, it's a must-win for Leicester. I think Hull can come away with a draw and be quite happy, although it wouldn't suit them, obviously, if Norwich won, Coventry gained ground on them either. But I think a draw would probably suit Hull more so than it would suit Leicester. As I say, it's a must-win for Leicester. That just ramps up the pressure on them. They need players to perform, and the likes of Dewsbury Hall, Mavadidi, they haven't been in top gear over the last sort of 5 or 6 games, and Maresca's going to need that, and they're going to need that against a Hull team who, like you pointed out, the likes of Philogene, the likes of Carvalho, Zaruri, they've got players who can hurt Leicester, and they don't need a lot of possession to do it, and that's a scary thing for Leicester in this game.
Exactly, Justin, that's the point I've been trying to make. Right, now it's time for this.
Scott High or Ryan Lowe?
Fucking shit, mate.
Yes, it's time for Scott High or Ryan Lowe. This is the game where we have to rank 4 things from highest to lowest. It's as simple as that. There's 3 questions. And this week, Justin is providing the questions to me. So what have you got for me, Justin Peach, you bastard?
I've got some frustration at you. You brought the game into disrepute last week with your stupid fantasy football question and points. People have called you out on social media. They've corrected you. So I'm going to point that out because you do the same thing to me. So I'm pointing the finger at you. Do better. Do better, Ryan.
I didn't realise anyone had called me out. Yeah. So what were they upset about?
They were upset about, they were questioning your points tally, essentially. What? Because it was potentially incorrect. I'm not going to argue with him because I'm not going to do the research myself. I'm just going to shout from afar saying, you fucked up.
I didn't. I definitely didn't because I double-checked it.
Anyway,
but,
do you want the questions?
Whatever.
Do you want
yes,
the questions?
Please.
Stop being so salty.
Can I just have the first question, please?
Yes, I'm going to rank. I want you to rank in order for me the player who has the highest goal conversion rate so far this season. Simple one, not your complicated nonsense last week. The players in question are Josh Sargent, Sammy Schmodics, Morgan Whittaker, and Will Keane. So I want you to give me the highest goal conversion rate to the lowest, please, out of those 4 players.
When you say goal conversion rate, just for clarity, you mean shots equaling goals, don't
that
you?
That is usually what it means, yes.
Just in case anyone's listening who doesn't understand, Justin.
Everyone understood it.
I don't think they necessarily did.
They did.
Right, okay. I will go. Well, I'll go with Josh Sargent because he scored a lot of goals, even though he's been out injured for a long time. So I can't imagine he's had a ridiculous amount of shots. Josh Sargent top. Will Keane's an interesting one because I feel like he may be quite high in this. You know what? I'll go Sargent top, then Keane, then Schmodz. Then Morgie Wits.
You've got Sargent and Keane the wrong way around. I wanted to give you a sarcastic response, but you did bloody brilliantly there. It's just Will Keane and Sargent the wrong way around. Will Keane's got 43% goal conversion rate, which is incredible.
Bloody hell.
The average around the league is about 20-25%, which is a big swing. Josh Sargent's got 42%. You are right. He's not played too many games, so therefore he's not had too many shots. Sammy Schmodics is third. He's got 26%. And Morgan Whittaker is last. He's got 20%. He's obviously clearly taken too many shots and put him in the back of the net, Morgan.
I mean, he's pretty much done that all season. So
yeah, not enough.
Yeah. Next question, please.
It's another stat-based question. I want you to rank in order for me the goalkeepers with the highest save percentage. So just for the record, this is saving shots.
It's shots that have been saved in comparison to the shots
they faced.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you statistician.
Right, there may be people who listen that don't know what save percentage is. All right, you XG virgin.
Jesus, okay. The underlying data virgin over here shouting that at me. Anyway, the goalkeepers you are got your beck and call are Gavin Bazunu, Victor Johansson, Angus Gunn and Jack Bonham.
Okay. Yeah, this is tricky. I mean, I'll put Victor Johansson top instantly because although he's faced a lot of shots.
Despite him throwing the ball into the
He had a stinker in midweek. I'd still put him top actually because I think he's just faced so many shots that he must have saved a few of them.
Well, he's the only reason we're offering him. I've got points this season, so.
Well, that is also true. Could you just remind me of the other names, please, Justin?
You've got Jack Bonham, Angus Gunn, and Gavin Bazunu.
I'll put Angus Gunn second, then Bonham, then Bazunu.
Well done. Well done.
Really?
No, you haven't. You've caught that up.
Twat.
Yeah, it's not nice, is it? Jack Bonham's top. Jack Bonham's top.
Christ.
Jack Bonham of Stoke City is top. He's got 72.9% save percentage. Then it's Angus Gunn with 70. He's quite high. And it's Victor Johansson with 67.6%.
And then Bazunu.
And then Gavin Bazunu with 63. He lets in a lot of shots. So yeah, got it completely wrong, Ryan. Jack Bonham is the world's best goalkeeper. You've heard it here on Second Tier Podcast.
Well, I'm glad we could establish that. I thought I actually got that right then. I was really annoyed by you psyching me out. Yeah. What was the last one, Justin?
The next one, or the final one, sorry, is what is the most used train station outside of London?
Ooh,
so this is based on footfall and passengers walking through the station using it, as we all know. Mm-hmm. So the stations are Manchester Piccadilly, Birmingham New Street, Leeds and Glasgow Central.
Oh, it's such a good question. It really is.
Some big cities now, there.
Yeah, I recall seeing that Leeds station is surprisingly high. Like, much higher than you'd expect it to be.
Where would you come across this
information? Leeds is obviously it's obviously a massive city.
Yeah, two universities as well. Three, actually.
Well, you wouldn't expect it to be as high as it is in the list, I think. So, with that being said, I'll go Glasgow top, then Leeds?
A lot of people in Glasgow.
Yeah, I'm definitely putting Glasgow top. Then, crap, I'll put Manchester second, then Leeds, then Birmingham New Street, although it could be in any order, to be honest. I'm not confident on that at all.
Then you shouldn't be, because that was an absolute awful job of putting them together.
Fine.
Birmingham New Street is top. 30 million passengers annually.
I tried to know what I did was overthink it, Justin. That's
you
what did. I've done.
That's half the UK walking through Birmingham New Street. Incredible. Leeds is next with 23.9 million annually. So
that's what I mean. Leeds is higher than you think.
Leeds is higher than you think. Although they're only just higher than Manchester Piccadilly with 23.5 million passengers annually. And then it's Glasgow Central bottom with 20 million. No one goes to Glasgow. Too cold.
I thought my gut was telling me Birmingham top. But then I managed to overthink it and get it completely and utterly wrong. In fact, I pretty much got it the complete opposite of right, didn't I?
Yeah, it was dreadful. It was a dreadful, dreadful showing from you. And you should be ashamed of yourself, to be honest with you.
I am quite ashamed, actually. But, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. That's Scott Hyer, Ryan Lowe. And this has been the Second Tier Podcast. We'll be back again on Sunday to give you a roundup of everything that happens in the Championship over the weekend. So make sure you join us and we look forward to seeing you then. This has been the Second Tier Podcast. I've been Ryan Dilks.
I've been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.